The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the program is Tony Smith with the Lower Peninsula Deer Management Initiative. We're going to be talking about the surveys that are going to be going out and what the initiative is about. I've heard from hunters on both sides of the matter, and we're going to try and see if we can sort out the facts and the myths, and people can decide when they get their surveys. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Craig. I appreciate it.
How did this come about? Is this something the DNR instituted? Is this something hunters instituted themselves after getting information? How did this all happen?
Well, for over a decade, hunters have been clamoring for restrictions that would advance more bucks into older age classes. So back in 1999, actually, a group of concerned stakeholders, along with DNR personnel and a couple of professors from Michigan State, sat down and decided what a good process would be. And part of that process is that a sponsoring group would bring forth a proposal and to advance the age structure of these bucks, and there was some criteria that had to meet. Number one, it had to protect at least 50% of the year-and-a-half-old buck age cohort. And then a sampling survey would be done of hunters, and at that time, and landowners, to see what kind of support there was. It was simply designed to measure support. The Natural Resource Commission ultimately has the say over whether these are going to be implemented or not. So even if the support is 100%, the Natural Resources Commission could, in their wisdom, in fact, deny implementation of these proposals. Now, in this situation, in 2006, a survey done by the Department of Natural Resources of hunters indicated that 75% of hunters wanted to see more and older bucks. And it's been this has been a trend over the, like I say, over the last decade, that Michigan hunters have wanted to see these more and older bucks during their deer hunting experience. And we feel that because nothing's been done to respond to those requests and those desires by deer hunters, that it could be partly to blame for the big decrease that we've seen in deer hunting efforts. Certainly, and if you look at two of the deer management units that are under antler point restrictions, they're either retaining their hunters or increasing their hunter numbers, where every other deer management unit around them is losing hunters. So there's some anecdotal evidence that antler point restrictions do help in hunter retention and participation. So we brought forth this proposal, started working on it in December of 2011, submitted our proposal. We actually investigated two or three different options. One was the hunter's choice regulations that the Upper Peninsula and the bovine tuberculosis area in northeast Michigan are currently operating under. It was determined that based on the number of combination licenses that are sold, that that wouldn't sufficiently protect the number of bucks that had to be protected. We then asked the DNR to look at the possibility of a 3-point APR peninsula-wide. We're just talking about the Lower Peninsula here. They looked at that and it determined that it would only protect 48.3%, so it didn't meet that criteria either. Also, proposals have to be made per zone, so that proposal was assuming that the higher protection rate in the north would offset the lower protection rate in the south, and in fact, that wasn't an option either. So the only option available for us in order to bring forth a proposal was to propose a 4-point mandatory antler point restriction for all bucks in Zone 3, which is the southern Lower Peninsula. And also, we made a second proposal for a 3-point on one side APR for all first bucks in the balance of the northern Lower Peninsula, Zone 2, that weren't already under antler point restrictions or under hunter's choice, like I mentioned in the TB zone. So that's where we are now. We just completed 14 public information meetings across the peninsula, And so right now we're in the process of going forward to the survey date, which is estimated for September 16th.
Now, this is something that has been brought up on a voluntary basis. There are groups out there that are quite active in our area. Quality Deer Management comes to mind. Those are voluntary. Was it found that the voluntary efforts didn't get the numbers high enough to make a difference?
Well, I don't think that there's anybody that would argue that voluntary is a better option, but if you look at the harvest data, and that's what we're basing this on, in the Southern Lower Peninsula, which the thumb lot falls into zone 3, 67% of the antlered buck harvest are year-and-a-half-old bucks. We lead the Midwest in percentage of year-and-a-half-old bucks that make up our harvest, and we're only second nationally to the state of New Jersey. So while, you know, voluntary antler point restrictions have been successful on a micro level, mostly in, you know, neighborhood deer management cooperatives, which I'm very familiar with and both practicing and promoting, on a micro level, they are successful. But on a large-scale issue, which is what we're dealing with here, we're dealing with a peninsula-wide issue here, they are not effective. And the voluntaries, the results in the success of voluntary antler point restrictions are really, I believe, what, you know, are spurring the masses to say, maybe we'd like to do something on a larger scale so we can take advantage of that too. So, I mean, of course, that's my opinion, but it certainly bears that out in the surveys that are being done.
It seems like in the surveys it would be, you know, almost kind of expected that the deer hunters would want to see more trophy-style deer out there. But there are hunters who hunt to basically, you know, put some meat in the freezer because they need that too. And they are concerned that, you know, if they have to wait for a bigger buck, they might miss an opportunity to do that, and that, you know, the younger deer actually are, you know, not quite as tough.
Well,
if you know what I mean.
So what constitutes a tough deer? A five-year-old deer? I mean, I've shot five-year-old bucks, and other than the size of the stake, there's really very little difference in it. So I don't disagree that maybe a younger deer is a little bit more tender. Who knows? So, I mean, does that constitute targeting button bucks? Some people might argue that too. But going back to where you started with that question, there is absolutely no question that there are people that hunt, you know, primarily for venison. In fact, on that same survey that I quoted from 2006, of people that were asked what their primary reason was for going deer hunting, only 29% of those people indicated that they do it so primarily for venison. Now, I'm fairly certain that the vast majority of hunters utilize the venison, whether they eat it themselves or they give it away or donate it or whatever that the case may be. So, there are people out there that, you know, are primarily into deer hunting for the sole purpose of venison. And certainly, these antler point restrictions aren't, other than possibly the first year, aren't going to reduce their opportunities to put venison in the freezer. It more than likely, and certainly in the thumb region, where numbers are over goal year after year after year, there's plenty of opportunities for antlerless harvest to fill freezers. So people will have those options, you know, during the first year while antler buck opportunities are reduced. Now, in Leelanau County, their antler point restrictions went into place in 2003. Prior to 2003, in 2001, 2002, the 3 years prior to implementation, their antlered buck harvest consisted of 67% year-and-a-half-old bucks. Their hunter success rates were hovered around 21%. After the first year, their hunter success rate in the first year on bucks, on antlered bucks, went down to 15%. After that, they returned to historic levels and have either been at or above historic levels for eight out of the last 9 seasons. So opportunities on box, other than the first year, are the same as what they are prior to antler point restrictions, and certainly in zone 3, there's plenty of opportunity to fill the freezer with venison through antlerless harvest, which is needed, by the way, in a lot of areas.
Is there any statistics in your proposal where you feel that, you know, you're going to still take the same number of deer? As you mentioned, we have plenty up here in the Thumb, and people are look to the deer hunting season to cull a few of them so they aren't smashing into your vehicles. Yeah, are we going to see similar numbers taken, or is this raising the buck standard going to maybe lower them a bit?
Well, anytime you're talking about managing the numbers in a deer herd, that's, you know, if you're talking about reducing numbers in a deer herd, that is done through antlerless harvest. And that is evaluated every year by the DNR, and they just recently made their recommendations for antlerless quotas all across the state. And so there's also proof that when opportunities on bucks are reduced or restricted, that people will turn their sights on antlerless deer in an opportunity to get some venison in the freezer, you know, at least to say that they shot their deer for the year. So there's certainly evidence that the implementation of antler point restrictions help increase antlerless harvest, providing that antlerless tags are available. And certainly in the Thumb region, there's plenty of antlerless tags available.
And some farmers actually get their own for problems they particularly have in certain fields and such as
crop
well.
Crop damage permits or deer management assistance permits. There's a couple of different ways that they can get those. Deer management assistance permits are issued to be filled during regular deer seasons by licensed hunters. Crop damage permits are another story. Those are usually, all tags have to be accounted for, and those tags are typically filled in the month of July.
The DNR obviously has regulations and proposals for hunting, and it must stipulate currently what they accept as a buck to be taken. Is this basically just raising that standard?
Yep, it's not a new restriction. It's just an enhancement of the current restriction on the first buck.
And you keep saying the first buck. Does the second buck doesn't count?
Well, the second buck is for a 4-point. Regardless, if you buy the combination license, the restricted tag is for a buck with 4 points statewide, 4 points on one side statewide, whether you're in the UP, Northern Lower, or Southern Lower. There's been no proposal to make any changes to that tag. Even if a hunter buys both the single tags, the archery tag and the firearm tag, they are still required by law to make sure that one of those bucks, if they fill both of them, one of them still has to have at least 4 points on one side. So we've been under antler point restrictions since 1997 with that restriction on that second buck tag. So all this is it's increasing the requirement on first bucks in an effort to protect more year-and-a-half-old bucks and advance them to the next age class, where the vast majority of them will be legal for harvest based on biodata that's collected by the DNR at deer check stations. And by the way, Michigan does a very good job of collecting data on their deer. They biocheck more deer, a larger percentage of our deer harvest, than any other state other than Nebraska, and we kill more deer than Nebraska has on their landscape, so whitetails anyways.
Is this basically kind of similar to what the DNR does, say, with walleye? You have to have a certain length of walleye. If you don't have it, you put it back so they grow larger for the sportsman to take. Is that kind of what we're trying to do here in some regards?
Well, you know, when it comes to fish regulations, it depends. You know, with some fish regulations, certainly if you look at sturgeon, and the age and size that they need to be considered mature in order to repopulate, to propagate the species, there's certainly evidence there that indicates that size restrictions have a biological impact. But if you look at along the lines of like bass fishing or walleye fishing or something like that, we, you know, our last jump in bass regulations was to 14-inch fish, and that was purely a social issue. Bass fishermen were wanting to catch larger bass, so certainly the bass population was doing just fine reproducing when the limit was 12 inches, and Minnesota doesn't have any limits at all, and they have a thriving bass population. So the answer to your question is it depends on the species, but the part of the process for us bringing forth this antler point restriction was that the DNR had to look at it and ensure that it would not have any negative biological impact on the species. And they before they even let us go forward with this, they determined that it would not.
Does it have benefits to it? Does an older, more mature buck bring forth better offspring for larger racks in the future?
Well, there's, you know, if you know, you're talking about the offspring of a buck, his genetics don't change whether he's 6 months old or 6 years old. So, you know, as far as that goes. But, you know, older bucks, if they're in the population, will do a larger percentage of the breeding. You know, there's lots of research that shows that twin fawns that are born are sired by more than one buck, 25% in fact, in the research that's been done on that. And even in a population of deer where there's a balanced age structure amongst the buck population, there's still a fairly good percentage of year-and-a-half-old bucks that take part in the breeding during the season. It's a smaller percentage when there's older bucks, but they certainly take part in it. You know, it's really having older bucks in the herd is more of a social benefit for the deer herd themselves, and certainly adds excitement for hunters being able to see the interactions of deer when older bucks are in the herd, you know, whether it's rubbing or sparring or, you know, some of the other things that deer do in their daily lives. I mean, those things are exciting. We all, everybody, deer hunters and non-deer hunters alike, are fascinated by big older bucks. So the jury is out as to whether or not older bucks have a biological benefit to the herd, but there's some very good research coming out of a study at Chesapeake Farms out on the East Coast that indicate that there is some biological benefit, but I don't believe that that's been verified yet and has been peer-reviewed.
Okay, I just figured they might, you know, be a little more adept at surviving cold, harsh winters because they made it through some of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not something that we really have to deal with in southern Michigan. Certainly the, you know, winter severity index down here isn't very seldom, if ever, comes into play with winter mortality and that sort of thing. That's something more that's dealt with in the northern reaches of the Lower Peninsula and certainly in the Upper Peninsula.
Is the effort to get more trophy bucks out there kind of indicative of today's hunters? I remember my dad in the 60s, he would pack and he'd go up north into the UP for a week or so, and he'd come back, and many, many years he never had a deer. And it seems like, you know, people today, if I'm going to do this, I want to come home with something. And is there a little more push to try and make sure there's more of the bucks out there for them?
Well, you know, again, we're looking at the survey, and that was the impetus behind our efforts going forward with this proposal was we were looking at what do hunters want. And it's not, I mentioned the 75%, and I didn't say hunters wanted to kill. 75% of hunters didn't want to kill more and older bucks. They wanted to see more and older bucks. It's our belief that, you know, that a large portion of the thrill of hunting and being out in the woods is the interaction. A lot of people say, it's just the getting away and being in outside and breathing the fresh air and getting away from the rat race. You know, our hunter success rate is, you know, usually runs in that 25th percentile or between 20 and 25 percentile on our the number of bucks that are killed each year. Success rates overall are a little bit higher because you factor in the antlerless harvest on that too. But this is in no way, shape, or form a proposal that promotes a quote-unquote a trophy program. In a trophy program, deer aren't even considered for harvest until they're at least 4.5 years old, because that's when a buck is considered mature. In the two areas in Michigan where antler point restrictions are in place, the percentage of 4.5 and 5.5-year-old bucks in the harvest under antler point restrictions has changed very minuscule amount compared to what it was before antler point restrictions. All antler point restrictions do is advance bucks into the 2.5 and 3.5-year-old age classes where they get harvested at those age classes. So this is about as far removed from what is considered a trophy hunting program. Now, certainly, people that are accustomed to shooting year-and-a-half-old bucks, by and large, over their hunting careers, if they shoot a 2.5 or a 3.5-year-old buck, that it would more than likely have larger antlers, then they maybe would say that that's the best trophy of their life. You know, we wouldn't argue with that. But this proposal is purely and simply an effort to protect at least 50% of the year-and-a-half-old bucks in the population and move them along to the next age class or the age class after that, where they will be targeted animals.
Okay. When these surveys come, what are people going to find? Are they going? Is it a long thing? Is it, just checking off boxes, or are they looking for some narrative in here as to what you want?
Well, people can go online and see what some of the past surveys have indicated. There'll be a cover letter on the survey. It'll be typically it's two pieces of paper. One is the survey itself. It'll be purely and simply a yes or no. Either you're in favor of the proposed antler point restriction, or you're not. I believe the cover letter. I don't know exactly what the wording will be, but it'll be an explanation of what the survey recipient is voting on. It's in the southern Lower Peninsula, it may read somewhere along the lines of a 4-point antler point restriction has been proposed in an effort to protect at least 50% of the year-and-a-half-old buck age cohort. But again, the DNR does the surveys. I only base my comments there on what I've read on the cover letters of past surveys. Okay. There'll also be information in there, more than likely, that will indicate that we do have exemptions in there for the youth. We've asked for an exemption for all hunters hunting under the apprentice license. There's no age limit on that. And we've asked for exemptions for all youth hunting during all special youth seasons, not just the one that's in place now, the two-day season that's in place now in September, but any future youth seasons that may come to pass. There's also another license that's available for kids, the mentored youth license, which is by statute exempt from any and all antler point restrictions. They get two tags, good for any deer, any season, anywhere in the state.
Okay. You said it's a 5-year trial period. Does that mean after 5 years the DNR is going to look these things over, see if it's had a positive effect that you were hoping for?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the biggest thing is that it needs to prove that it is in fact protecting that 50% mark of year-and-a-half-old bucks. The proposal based, going through the harvest data, both of these proposals actually will protect about 70% of the year-and-a-half-old buck cohort. A 3-point on a side, which would be the next lower threshold in the southern Lower Peninsula, would protect actually in I believe, less than 40% of the year and a half old bucks. So that's when you make the next jump, it protects actually 70%. So it'll have to, the surveys, the biodata that the DNR collects and will be evaluating over the next five seasons after, in assuming that the survey gains the support and the Natural Resources Commission votes to implement it. It'll be for a five-year test period. The DNR will evaluate the data the biodata that's collected, and compare that against biodata that's collected prior to implementation of antler point restrictions. It will have to indicate that it has protected the 50%, and it'll also have to indicate that it has done no biological harm, that it hasn't changed the basic measurements on antlers, meaning that they measure a couple different things on our bucks. One of them is the beam circumference, 1 inch above the skull, and it's a millimeter measurement. And that's a very good indicator if that's going up or going down as to herd density and herd health, and they don't want to see any negative impact from antler point restrictions in that. And also they want to make sure that high grading is not taking place, meaning that the quote-unquote the cream of the crop of the bucks are being taken off the table and that it's affecting the number of points going forward on year-and-a-half-old bucks. And that's what they found in DMU 118 back in around 1995 to 2000. There was no significant difference in antler point restrictions other than the 2.5- and 3.5-year-old bucks gained a little bit of mass in their beam diameter, which could be attributed to the overall population being reduced and the overall health of the deer going up. That was the only two measurements that they considered significant. Everything else stayed the same. There was no degradation in the antlers from antler point restrictions being applied in DMU 118. And the same thing is true in 047, Leelanau County, and DMU 122 in the UP.
Okay. There are two zones in the Lower Peninsula. What basically was the determination in this? Is it already zoned that way by the DNR, or is it basically that deer in the southern part of the state have an easier winter and a better food supply, and they therefore tend to do a little better and grow faster?
Yeah, Craig, that's a good question. The borderline between Zone 2 and Zone 3 is similar to, but not the same as, what the shotgun rifle zone is. But the reason for the differentiation in the two zones is mostly because of geography, soil types. The northern reaches of the state have typically got more sand and acidic-type soils, where the southern half is more agriculturally rich. So, and that's why the difference in the proposals, 3 points in the north protects at 70%, the same as 4 points in the south does. So, why a lot of people may think that 4 point restriction is a huge hurdle, and that's just not something that they're going to be able to live under. It does exactly the same thing as a 3 point restriction does in the north, in protecting year-and-a-half-old bucks, but those bucks are by and large legal targets at age 2.5 and certainly by 3.5. But the differences in the two zones are basically geographic and based on soil types. And they've been long time established, and they're the same. It's the same defining line that is used in all hunting and trapping regulations.
Okay. It seems like it's an issue that people are, it's not a take it or leave it. People are either loving it or they're against it. Where do people go to get the facts on it?
Well, we've got a website for anybody that would like to visit our website. It's MI Deer Hunt, all one word, MI for Michigan, midearhunt.org. They can go there. We've got lots of information on that site. We've also got a Facebook page with a lot of information there, and that's Lower Peninsula Deer Management Initiative on Facebook. We entertain all comments and debate. All we ask is that people keep it civil, which isn't always the case in the media there, that, you know, in that media today. But you know, we're perfectly willing to entertain all questions and comments on the Facebook page, and we're addressing those as we go along. And our community is growing on a regular basis there. As far as if they've got concerns of the DNR, they're certainly welcome to contact the DNR. We've been working very closely with Dr. Brent Rudolph, who is the Deer and Elk Program coordinator in Michigan, and he'll answer any questions too. And certainly their local biologist, I can't tell you who it is right off the top of my head in your region, but that information is available on the DNR website.
Okay. And again, they're coming out in September, and we're looking here at WLEW to doing one of our shows for prior to deer season, our deer shows that before the surveys go out, so we can get more information to our mm-hmm. listeners on this. But they're coming out in September, mid-September, and you need at least 50% of the people responding in order for the DNR to consider it?
Yeah. And the response rate typically isn't a problem with these sorts of things. It was 80% in the recently passed Northwest 12 proposal, which took in 12 counties in the northwest corner of the state, which was an expansion of the Leelanau restrictions up there. And they will be starting their five-year test period this fall. And there's plenty of excitement up there. There's people with some trepidation about it, you know, which is certainly understandable and expected. But in Leelanau County, their support for the APRs actually increased after their five-year experiment period. They've been enjoying 72% hunter satisfaction up there under antler point restrictions for 10 years, and in DMU 122, it's been 74%. For the last 12 years, so hunters are indicating that their hunting experience is enhanced with more and older bucks in the herd, and certainly their success rates have not suffered either.
And any changes possible would not be in this hunting season; would be next year.
Correct.
I would imagine the DNR would likely wait until the figures from this year's deer harvest are in, so they've got the most up-to-date figures to use when figuring you know, what they want to do with the program.
No.
No?
That's not the case. They won't take into account the 2013 harvest data as to whether or not they make a recommendation to the NRC to implement the antler point restriction or not. Our harvest data doesn't change that drastically from year to year. It's going to be based on the harvest data that's in place right now.
Okay, and the survey results.
And the survey results, yes. And again, ultimately, it's up to the Natural Resource Commission. If hunters indicate by at least 66% support, then the DNR will make a recommendation to the Natural Resources, providing that nothing's changed as far as biological impact. They will make a recommendation, a wildlife order recommendation, to the Natural Resources that antler point restrictions be applied for a five-year test period. And then it's up, then there'll be, typically 4 or 5 months of Natural Resource Commission's meetings where people can go and make public comment. Anybody's welcome to do that. If you sign up in advance, you can get 5 minutes in front of the commissioners. If you sign up at the meeting, you get 3 minutes, and you can and voice your approval or disapproval or concerns or whatever. That's part of, through Proposal G that passed several years ago, that with the formation of the Natural Resource Commission, that they would take public comment into consideration when making decisions on wildlife issues.
So it's not a simple majority with the surveys. 50% of those sent out have to come back, and of the over 50% that's returned, 66 or two-thirds of them basically have to approve it.
Correct.
Who's getting
an 80% response rate in the most recent survey in the Northwest 12, and actually close to 69% of those surveyed were in favor of the going forward with a 3-point APR for the next 5 years.
Who are getting the surveys? People who had deer licenses last year, property owners, how does that work?
Well, they used to include property owners. The property owners were dropped from the equation for a couple of reasons. Number one is that past surveys indicated that hunter response and support was mirroring landowner response and support. So there was really no advantage in getting a second opinion from specifically from landowners. Also, initially, antler point restriction proposals were for a small area, say a particular DMU or a county or something like along those lines. In order to get a sampling of landowners in that situation, you have to go to the Department of Equalization and get the name and address of every single landowner in the affected area and put them into a hopper and pick out names from that hopper. It was very expensive doing it on a small scale. It would be, it would be tenfold expensive and time-consuming to simply find out what they already know, that the landowner support and response was the same as hunters. So in 2010, a group reconvened to look at the proposal process, and that was one of the changes that was made. The 66% support stayed in place. It was determined that it would have to be a supermajority of hunters that wanted to see this go through in order to impose these. So that's the situation there. And
is it separate for regions? Could there possibly be the northern region approving it, the southern saying no, and it would only go into effect in one?
Absolutely, or vice versa. It could pass in zone 4 or zone 3 and not pass in zone 2. Yes, sir. They are two separate proposals that we've got in front of the DNR right now.
Okay. And who is getting it? The people who had licenses last year, the people who signed up for this year, or
The DNR every year post-season, they send out, for instance, last year they sent out 55,000 surveys, post-season surveys to hunters.
Mm-hmm.
The response rate on those was 53%. And for those that didn't respond, they got two reminders to respond. So the response rate, while it may seem disappointing, actually from a statistician's point of view is a very good response rate, 53% on that type of a survey. And so out of the people that answered that survey, if they indicated on the survey that they hunted in one of the deer management units that's going to be affected by this proposal, then they would be put into the pool of prospective antler point restriction proposal survey recipients. Meaning if there's 350,000 deer hunters in zone 3, of those, probably maybe, 30,000 of them got the deer hunter survey and returned it. So sampling of those, there's going to be 2,000 hunters sampled in each of the two zones. And that's, statistically, that's a huge sample size to make this determination.
Oh, yeah, you watch the polls that they do for just about everything these days, and they just need a good sample, a broad base of sample, and they can get pretty close.
Yep, they do for, determining who's going to win the presidency and that sort of thing. They can get a pretty good idea on about 400 or 500 survey recipients.
We're getting close to the end of our time here. I was just wondering if you had like a website or someplace people could go if they want more information before they get a survey or before we have our next DNR show.
Absolutely. The Lower Peninsula Deer Management Initiative on Facebook, or LPDMI, and our website is MIDeerHunt, all one word, MIDeerHunt.org, O-R-G, and again, we encourage people to ask questions, make comments. We just ask that they keep it civil so we can have a legitimate debate about this very important issue.
And you can download the exact proposal. I did it from the last site you noted, and it may be a little legalese, but there's a lot of other information on the site that helps explain some of this.
Yeah, and a lot of the information I shared with you today, Craig, is we did a YouTube video of the meetings that the public information meetings, all the information that we shared with people at the 14 public information meetings. That's available there in a 26-minute YouTube video that people can just sit down in their living rooms or, on their lunch period at the office or whatever and watch that, and they can see all the information that's been gathered and vetted by the Department of Natural Resources for that proposal.
I thank you for taking time with us today.
Craig, thank you, and thanks for your audience for taking the time to listen.
And any idea when we'll know the results of the surveys?
More than likely, the results will be made public at the Natural Resource Commission meeting in December.
December.
Mm-hmm.
Just after you've had your firearm season, we'll start getting a clue as to how things may be going.
Yep. Yes, sir. That's the case.
Thank you again for being with us. Our guest today on the program has been Tony Smith. He is with the Lower Peninsula Deer Management Initiative. And again, you can go to their website and they're on Facebook. And you can search for them on the Google and you'll find them. I did it that way. All you have to do is get the information and see what they're proposing and if you like it or if you have questions. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.